Resolution 951.
Direct staff to enter into the city's commitments for the Lent Stabilization and Job Creation Collaborative Oregon Solutions Declaration of Cooperation.
Colleagues, this resolution is focused on the Johnson Creek floodplain in the Lentz and Powellhurst-Gilbert neighborhoods, an area that's facing interconnected challenges relating to flooding, environmental health, economic development, and housing. In 2016, the Lentz Collaborative was designated and tasked with exploring strategic and cost-effective ways to keep the flood-prone areas of the Lentz and Powellhurst-Gilbert neighborhoods affordable and diverse, support job growth and business investment, mitigate flooding, and restore natural floodplain functions along Johnson Creek. Over the last 2 years, the city team, comprised of staff from 10 different city bureaus and agencies, and Oregon Solutions, have engaged multiple state and federal agencies, researchers from educational institutions, stakeholders from community organizations, and hundreds of business owners and residents in a process to identify solutions to advance the community's goals. The result of this process is a declaration of cooperation outlining priorities for action and specific commitments of each of the project partners. Going forward, the city will continue to work closely together to develop timelines and milestones to ensure that we're delivering on these commitments. My office convened participating bureaus for an initial implementation meeting the week before last and will be holding another in the next couple of weeks. In addition to addressing issues related to flooding, the city's commitment in the declaration also include measures to help create jobs, preserve affordable housing options for residents, and enhance and improve community access to natural areas such as the Foster Floodplain and Beggar's Tick Marsh. This project successfully highlights how Portland can take a coordinated approach towards the creation of more resilient and thriving communities and exemplifies what we can accomplish when we work together as a community, as a city, and as a state. At this point, I'd like to pass this over to Commissioner Fish. Commissioner Fish.
I'm a little surprised that you did that, Mayor, but thank you.
I'm just going through my talking points, so welcome. Good morning, Nick. How are you today?
May I say that the beard is really coming in very nicely. I disagreed with some of your critics this morning, Mayor, but why don't I kick it?
They were a little harsh, weren't they?
Ted, why don't I kick it back to you?
Great. All right. So we have staff to come up and talk us through this. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello. I guess we're not as coordinated today as we should be.
It's a short week.
Afternoon session. We'll make it, though. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Representative, thanks for being here.
Mayor Wheeler, members of Portland City Council. My name is Jeff Reardon, state representative for District 48, and serving people of Southeast Portland and Happy Valley. And I really appreciate your having us in today for this important meeting. I am here today as co-convener alongside with fellow convener Michelle Rudd to recognize the work of the Lentz Stabilization and Job Creation Collaborative and to thank the city for their continued commitment and investment in the Powellhurst-Gilbert and Lentz communities. I believe the first time that we testified was August of 2016, and our collaborative had just been declared an Oregon Solutions Project by Governor Kate Brown, and we were here asking you to put your faith in us and support us in our mission to keep the neighborhoods affordable and diverse, to support job growth and business investment, and to enhance the Johnson Creek floodplain and wetlands. I'm very proud to say that 2 years later, we are on track to reaching our goals and have accomplished much already. A little over 3 years ago, when this project was in the beginning stage of development, I looked at the large list of collaborators and the interested parties and thought, how on earth is this going to stay on point with a group this large? We all know how challenging it is to work through a large bureaucracy. You do it every day. But from the beginning, I saw a complete, dedicated commitment of everyone involved. I truly wish members of the public could experience what I did and see how dedicated and talented the people are that work on this project. And I think they're a reflection of folks that work for our cities and other agencies across this great state. With the leadership of the Oregon Solutions Project team, the steering committee, and the city leads. This collaborative has produced a clear vision for the future of these neighborhoods and has already begun to make substantive improvements. Not only do I consider the collaborative a success on reaching our goals, but it also demonstrated that government can work together. And I hope that each of you will build on the accomplishments of this collaborative as we tackle the critical work that is still to come in Lentz and Palhurst-Gilbert. The way that the collaborative has navigated within different city and state agencies, different jurisdictions, and different opinions and ideas has been impressive. It can be done. I'd like to let the group share with you in detail our accomplishments and commitments. They are the backbone of this collaborative, and I would like to recognize all of their dedication and hundreds of hours to the ongoing process of helping the most vulnerable residents stay in their homes, maintain family wealth, minimize flood risk, and to prevent community instability that comes with economic displacement. Mayor Wheeler, members of the council, thank you again for your investment and support and believing in my community.
Thank you. And it goes without saying, Representative, that you have been a primary mover of this entire process over a period of many years. And in fact, I want to just point out it was you who personally brought this to my attention for the first time a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for your diligent leadership.
Yeah.
At the state level, and more importantly from our perspective as city commissioners, thank you for your attention to your constituents' needs. Thank you.
Thank you for your remarks. It's a wonderful partnership.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Michelle Rudd. I am a member of your Planning and Sustainability Commission, and I think that's how I came to be involved in this. I've initially volunteered to be part of it because I saw it as an opportunity to really put some meat behind what we'd said we were doing in the Portland plan in terms of wanting to support healthy, connected communities, promote having a healthy economy, supporting our youth, and doing it through an equity lens. And it's lived up to all those expectations. It's been very encouraging to see the bureaus working together and people not being wed to certain outcomes, you know, being very data-driven and looking at what do we need to know to really best shepherd the city's resources, both in terms of talent and money, and then charting a course forward. So I'm hopeful that the city will maintain that type of investment and keep this moving forward. We often create plans, and there's always this worry that the plan will just sit on a shelf. And this is a case where work has actually been done. We have plans for moving forward, and we'll need the city's support to keep going. To highlight some of the real results we've seen here, part of the concern here was that with FEMA trying to get to cost recovery with flood insurance, people have their flood insurance rates screaming up at significant rates. And so you have the Lentz neighborhood, which has is the most diverse part of the city, I think, and also has a lot of naturally occurring affordable housing. And the city saw an opportunity, and the collaborative saw an opportunity to help people before they are on the track toward homelessness, to keep people in their homes proactively. And working with the Housing Bureau, there was an ability to very targeted resources into that community and help people right-size their insurance premiums because they were actually paying more than they should. I know with the Portland plan, we also talked a lot about being more efficient with how we use our industrial land and getting greater density of employment on the lands. And I think we have a much better understanding of the industrial land resources in that area now and are going to be in a good position to leverage that when opportunities arrive. Also from the planning perspective, I know that we've viewed East Portland as park deficient, and to the extent we're able to continue to do these flood restoration projects, when they're not serving as storage for flood water, they also provide a green benefit to those communities. So when I'm not serving on the Planning Commission, I'm a land use lawyer, and so in that capacity, I've sometimes had frustration with government where you feel like everybody's in a different silo and people aren't talking to each other, and that really hasn't been the experience here, and it's a great model for how things should work going forward. The last thing I'll say is I was mentioning to Jeff before we came up that this was a situation where we knocked on the door and people said the government is here to help, and it actually was. There was really concrete benefit to people living within the floodplain, and I hope we'll continue to do that.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
My name is Nick Christensen. I'm a 10-year resident of the Lentz floodplain, and back of the napkin calculation, I've paid somewhere around $15,000 in those 10 years in flood insurance premiums. There's a lot of work that you've heard from already. You'll hear more from your staff, and there are reports on your desk. I don't want to talk too much about the successful short-term efforts that have been identified by the Oregon Solutions Project. I want to talk more about the future and the people who are living in the floodplain right now. It's very easy, first of all, to ask, why didn't you know this was going to happen? Why didn't you know you bought a house in the floodplain? There are a lot of folks in my neighborhood who bought their homes at a time when there was a mistake by FEMA, and that area was out of the floodplain. The mistake was corrected, and when people have gone to refinance or when their mortgage lenders have noticed, they're required to pick up flood insurance premiums that top $3,000 a year now. Those numbers are going up 18% a year because of decisions by the Tea Party Congress to match the FEMA flood insurance program to the actuarial rates. In my case, I found out the day before closing, surprise, your house is in a floodplain, and the cost was about $1,500 a year, and given that it was January 2009 and the world was collapsing and there was stability that was being dangled in front of me, seemed like a cost that we could eat. And then it went up 18% a year after that, and I started talking with BES about how we could work as a community and as a city to address this situation. So we have a situation where the city encouraged development many, many decades ago, more than a century ago, in an area that was believed to be safe but turned out to have some risk. And the city and the county and Gresham and other places allowed development in other areas of Johnson Creek and the watershed, increasing runoff and flood risk. And here we are today. First off, I want to commend your staff on finding really innovative short-term solutions. They really drilled in and came up with creative, out-of-the-box ideas to cut the premium risk and to make homes more flood resilient. Given the uncertainties of climate change, however, it's essential that we not stop there. I want to, in particular, call out Jacob Sherman, Marie Walkowitz, Allison Wicks, and Andrea Mathiason for going above and beyond and their dedication and creative thinking on this project. Moving forward, through this process, we learned that the current flood map may not be accurate. And I'm one of those homeowners who may be paying premiums unnecessarily. Others may have increased risk, and they may not know it. So it's essential that we have accurate floodplain maps. And it's important the city work on resources to support those homeowners who may find themselves unexpectedly in the floodplain to help ease the burden of potential insurance requirements. This process has helped to illustrate how previous mitigation and restoration work on Johnson Creek have been effective at reducing risk. If you look at the East Lentz floodplain, it's been dramatic. If you've been out there during a flood event and you don't see Foster Road flooding, the work that BES did out there has really helped cut the 10-year flood risk. That doesn't solve our problem, but it does help make things better and less traumatic. The city has a long track record of successful mitigation and restoration projects. The city spent $16 million, for example, on Crystal Springs and Westmoreland, removing 33 acres from the floodplain in that area. That's the kind of commitment that I think we in East Portland would like to see. I would like to see the council talk about Beggar's Tick moving forward. It's an unfortunate name for a really important natural area. It's owned by Metro, which in full disclosure is my employer, although I am not representing them today. But its management is contracted to Portland Parks, and access is limited. Even though it's 5 blocks from my house, it's more than a mile walk to go enjoy that area. So it would be great to see Parks, BES, and Metro work with the community on a Beggar's Tick master plan, looking at access, environmental quality, and public safety in the area. You can't talk about Beggar's Tick without talking about what's around it. The junkyards to the south that flood, releasing auto chemicals into the creek. The industrial lots on the west side that are on cul-de-sacs. These are all important things that need to be a part of a future discussion. And finally, we need to remember that climate change continues to cause dramatic weather events and build resiliency into whatever happens going forward. We can't have this discussion without talking about gentrification. One of the reasons this project was underway was because displacement was happening in our community. People were selling their homes because they couldn't afford the insurance premiums. Developers were scraping them and building $450,000 homes that were above the floodplain. we all know change is going to occur whether we act or not. So it's best to manage that change in a way that's consistent with our values. I want to reiterate that it's important for the City Council to lead on this. I don't think right now we can expect Lentz to come together as a community and try and find a solution. Right now, my neighbors can't agree on what color the sky is. And so, unfortunately, we really need some help from City Hall on organizational capacity to try and move bigger solutions forward because of the amount of distrust that's come up in the last few years, especially in the wake of some citywide crises. Despite that, Wentz is on the rise. You all know it. You've seen our town center with the new buildings, the new businesses, the affordable housing, and no copper penny. And with the exception of crime, Wentz is a better place to live than a decade ago. The city's commitment to the community is working. Your commitment to my community is working. And now it's time to focus on the next stage, improving the environment, ensuring home security and access to nature. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions for this group, folks?
I just have a comment. Thank you all for your work on this, and it is a great project. And Mr. Christensen, fun fact about Beggar's Tick, we have a contract with Metro for parks to manage it, but Metro doesn't give us any money to do so. So I think in addition to your comments about doing a master plan, which would be a good thing, there needs to be some agreement about helping pay for services for all of the properties at Metro. So if you could, I know you're not at work right now, but just keep that in mind. Thank you.
Well, if I could add to that, Metro, well, you know this, Nick. You work at Metro, but for the benefit of the broader audience, Metro is thinking about another levy or bond effort in 2019 for natural areas. So that may be an issue that we can take up then. And I appreciate that, Nick, you took a moment to talk about Lentz on the rise, because while I was listening to the testimony of all three distinguished guests today, I was making a list of all the things that have changed in the last 10 years in Lentz, and it really is staggering. It's not just a more complete and healthy neighborhood. It's a destination for some of the great things in our community that are only going to get better, and that is a direct result of the kind of advocacy represented here and in the audience. So I congratulate you.
Thank you. Right. Great. We'll take public testimony. Carla, how many folks do we have signed up?
I believe staff is going to present.
Oh, they are.
Present.
Okay,
yes.
And I'm sorry. I obviously didn't get the current
We're
run
sort
of show.
We're sort of flying by the seat of our pants.
That works. We'll get through it. Thank you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Mike Jordan. I'm the director of the Bureau of Environmental Services. I'm pleased to represent the city's involvement on the Lentz Collaborative. With me today is Shannon Callahan from the Portland Housing Bureau and Kira Strassman, the director of development and investment from Prosper Portland. They'll have some comments after mine. My comments will be a little bit abbreviated. There was a PowerPoint, but we're having a bit of technical difficulty, so I just plan to wing it a bit, if that's all right with you.
It's working for me.
It
should work for you, too.
Great. This project started before I was with the city, and will go on a lot longer, as you are beginning to hear. It has been a breakthrough project regarding our ability to collaborate both within the city, among bureaus, and interjurisdictionally with other levels of government and other local governments. So some of the things that came out of this project, as you've heard, it is certainly at its core a project to deal with flooding and floodplain restoration. However, the approach by this collaborative has been a more holistic approach for the whole neighborhood. We are looking at not only investments of capital to be able to mitigate for flooding, but programmatic investments to be able to work with homeowners to deal with what you heard is their major problem. Flooding, while annoying in this neighborhood, is not catastrophic. We found through our modeling that the heaviest floods would be no more than 3 feet, and in most of the area, only a few inches. And so flooding, while disturbing in the area, as Mr. Christensen noted, has gotten a lot better with some of our work. But what is really a challenge for many of the residents is the cost of flood insurance, the flood insurance program. And Shannon's going to talk a little bit about her program. And
I also have your PowerPoint.
You also have my PowerPoint.
PowerPoint.
I think I'm on a roll. And so if it's all right with you, Mr. Mayor, I think we'll just continue forward because I think we can abbreviate this a bit. Again, the really high points about this program, we are going to be continue to make investments in flood mitigation in the area through BES's work in collaboration with Parks and with Metro and with other bureaus. We will not make as many large capital investments as we were planning on making because while they may mitigate some flooding in a minor way, they won't mitigate against very large flooding. And you heard Mr. Christensen also mention climate change. And we are in the process of trying to understand what the impacts of climate change will be over the long term in this area. And that will go a lot to the mapping of the floodplain as we move forward also. So that's where BES will be. We will continue to be committed to this area and make improvements. They also will not only be helpful to homeowners, but you'll also hear from Prosper that businesses will be benefited in this area. They are already significant employers of family wage jobs in the area, and our job, I think, is to help them mitigate against minor flooding, continue to do that, and perhaps help with some of the infrastructure investments that they'll need to grow their businesses in the future. With that, I think I will turn it over to Shannon and Kira to talk about their involvement.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioner. Shannon Callahan from the Portland Housing Bureau. It was the Housing Bureau's privilege to actively participate in the Oregon Solutions Project. We were able to engage hundreds of community members, build effective partnerships, and ultimately reduce housing costs for low and moderate income households in the floodplain. During the early stages of our community outreach work, we heard specific concerns from the community regarding the rising costs of flood insurance. The Housing Bureau and Habit and Greenlands pioneered a flood insurance savings program to help stabilize homeowners. The program offered free and low-cost elevation certificates, home assessments, and insurance counseling to help community members save money. The program was a success. It provided more than 30% of the active flood insurance policyholders in the floodplain assistance and saved low and moderate income homeowners an average of $650 a year on their flood insurance program. In our work on the project, we also learned a lot about the lack of knowledge and information that insurance agents had about flood insurance and the intricacies of the National Flood Insurance Program. Working with Representative Reardon, we were able to advocate for new state rules to better protect flood insurance policyholders, resulting in Oregon becoming just the fifth state in the nation to require continuing education regarding flood insurance for insurance providers. I'd really like to thank the entire collaborative team that we were able to partner with, the co-sponsors, and acknowledge the hard work and dedication of the Housing Bureau's project lead, Mr. Jacob Sherman. So thank you very much.
Good afternoon. I'm Kira Straussman with Prosper Portland. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners, for inviting us here to present. I want to thank our Bureau partners and Oregon Solutions. We at Prosper are dedicated to continue to work collaboratively to see Lentz continue to thrive. Both the Prosper Portland Strategic Plan and the Lentz 5-Year Action Plan are clear about our commitment to support existing businesses and middle-wage job growth in the Lentz industrial area. The East Foster industrial area is home to nearly 100 businesses, close to 12,000 workers with an annual payroll of $45 million a year. The mix of construction and manufacturing businesses includes auto-oriented firms, food manufacturing and distribution. Our studies as part of this project concluded that industrial and employment lands have low vacancy rates and are well utilized with middle wage jobs for East Portland. Those are jobs that pay $42,000 a year or more, but require less than a bachelor's degree to attain. Middle wage job growth is especially important in low-income neighborhoods, for communities of color, for East Portland. Prosper Portland will continue to support property owners and businesses in this area so they can invest in their properties and grow, continue to provide good-paying jobs for the community, and when they can build in a way that doesn't impact the floodplain or the Johnson Creek. Prosper Portland supports the work of our Bureau partners and will continue to work collaboratively as the Declaration of Cooperation moves forward. I want to thank my colleague Allison Wicks, who did the bulk of the work on this project for us at Prosper, and the Lentz community members who helped us to understand the challenges of working and living in the floodplain.
Mr. Mayor, if I may close.
Please, yeah, of course.
All of the content work that the bureaus have been involved in, that other public partners have been involved in, and that other nonprofits have been involved in this collaborative, the substantive work is all important, and much of it will go on. I think the most important thing about this is that we've proved to ourselves and to each other that we can work together over a long period of time and persist in a neighborhood that has some challenges. And our commitment, I think, as bureaus going forward, is to continue that collaboration, continue to persist in engaging with the community on solutions that can work. I think that's the biggest learning in this for us, and it's inspiring. And I want to thank Marie Wachowicz and Lisa Huntington for their work. I'm a latecomer to this process, and they've done yeoman's work over a number of years, and this doesn't happen without great leadership and someone who will persist and keep us at the table and keep us working. So I really want to thank Representative Reardon and Michelle Redd for their leadership throughout this process. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. How many folks do we have signed up, Carla?
We have four people.
Very good.
Okay. The first three, please come on up, are Noel Natusil, Daniel Newberry, and Carolee Harrison.
Name for the record, please. We do not need your address unless you want to give it to us. Let us know if you're a lobbyist. And other than that, the mics move around, and about 6 to 8 inches is about right. Welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Wheeler and members of the City Council, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Noel Winnetisel, and I am the Stanley H. Cohn Professor of Economics at Reed College. I have also participated on the Lentz Collaborative Project Team. For the past 20 years, my research has estimated the effect of environmental amenities and land use practices on the sale price of properties in the Portland area. My current research explores the effect of the FEMA 100-year floodplain on property sale prices in the Johnson Creek watershed. I estimate that from 1988 to 2014, properties in the 100-year floodplain sold, on average, for 21.5% less than those outside the floodplain. What caused this discount? My findings point to the cost of flood insurance. This highlights the importance of reducing flood insurance rates, which the mayor and city council have supported by funding the Flood Insurance Savings Program. This program decreased the average cost of flood insurance for participants by $650, which translates into a net present value of savings for property owners of almost $13,000 over the life of a 30-year mortgage. As stated by one program participant, quote, "The Flood Insurance Savings Program has enabled me to keep my house," unquote. This innovative program has received national attention because it enacts a key principle to reform flood insurance, using a property-specific risk-based assessment to determine a property's flood insurance rate. Publicity about this program attracted the attention of the two leading flood insurance economists in the United States at Wharton's Risk and Decision Center at the University of Pennsylvania. A research team comprised of myself, two researchers from Wharton, and Jacob Sherman at the Portland Housing Bureau have developed a survey that will investigate flood literacy, perceptions of flood risk, and willingness to pay for flood insurance in the Lentz and Powell Hurst Gilbert neighborhoods. The survey is ongoing, but preliminary results show that a majority of homeowners in the 100-year floodplain learned about their property's flood risks and insurance costs at closing or after moving into their new home. Transparency in real estate transactions is essential. I urge the Council to consider mechanisms that will allow buyers and sellers to have full and complete information much earlier in the process. I commend the agency staff I've worked with as part of the Lentz team for their outstanding work and leadership. Their evidence-based approach to developing public policy is the approach we need to ensure that public funds are being used in a way that has the maximum possible benefit. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor.
Can I ask you a question, Professor?
Fish.
We so rarely have someone who's a representative of the dismal science of economics,
thank
you. So kind of take full advantage of it. We heard from someone previously that transparency would be wonderful, but we still have some questions about mapping integrity,
mm-hmm.
who's in and who's out. And
right.
So how do we resolve those questions?
There was some very good work done by Gary Wolf as part of this process, and that was presented to members of the Lentz Collaborative Project team that showed, using the most advanced hydrological models, what the 100-year inundation levels would be. And having much greater transparency, a lot of our survey respondents talked about getting access to information about the floodplain through portlandmaps.com, which was great, through FEMA, through outreach from the city. But having that information, are you in a floodplain, yes or no, but even more continuous information, because it's not this, you know, you step a foot outside of the 100-year floodplain and all of a sudden the risk goes to zero. It's a continuous measure of flood risk.
Yeah, you know, not long ago this council mandated that you get an energy score on your house, and that, mm-hmm. as you might imagine, faced some resistance in the industry,
right.
but is now the law of the city. And it seems to me that when you look at the Declaration of Cooperation and you can sort of project forward as the things we can tangibly do where the city can add value, we can put this issue in our legislative agenda to make sure that there is pressure in Washington to have reasonable and fair insurance. The idea that those rates are galloping at 18% annual increases is not sustainable for any family, so
right.
that's a problem. We certainly have within our authority to deal with these transparency issues and making
mm-hmm.
sure there's full disclosure.
Great.
But I'll want to, one of the things that I will be interested in, because I now have both BES and Parks, and we're looking at some in partnerships between the two bureaus. And from what I've learned about this cluster of issues, I think there's a couple of candidates here where we can bring Parks and BES to the table collaboratively. Is how we get the mapping right. Because it shouldn't depend on whether on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday you get a different read at closing. We should be able to have some real clarity about whether you're in or you're out and what's the consequence of that. And then who bears the risk and the liability if it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I also had a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your testimony. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that there is a disclosure problem. People mention that they're hearing they're in a floodplain either at the closing or perhaps even worse after the closing. Are there any prohibitions at the state level that would preclude us from taking a look at that at the local level that you're aware of?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Daniel Newberry. I am the executive director of the Johnson Creek Watershed Council, and have been a stakeholder in the Oregon Solutions Project for the past 2 years. So thank you, Mayor Wheeler and City Council members, for this opportunity to voice my support for the Lentz Collaborative. Environmental justice is a concern of the Johnson Creek Watershed Council, and it's a term I think that's been given a lot of lip service in the past couple of years. But I think this project is a really good example of how you can really take the principles of environmental justice and put them into action. We've heard from several speakers so far about the benefits of the to low-income housing owners of the flood insurance work that's been done through this project. You've heard that for many Lentz residents, that has been going up 15 to 20% a year, in some case in excess of $2,000. So I think this program may actually be helping some Portlanders staying in their homes, which I think is very, very positive. Another important piece of work that the Lentz Collaborative has been working on is floodplain restoration to reduce floodings for homeowners and businesses. This work really goes back 20 years for the City of Portland to the Willing Sellers Program and subsequent creation of Foster Floodplain. I think it's interesting to point out that in December 2015, when we had the last big flood, that the peak flow in Johnson Creek was actually higher than it was in the big 1996 flood. And I think that's really important to point out, because I think a lot of it is really a result of the floodplain restoration work, both Foster Floodplain and some other places upstream, that's actually worked to reduce flooding for a lot of residents. And it's, I think, worthwhile work that the City's Bureau of Environmental Services has been doing. And it's science-based work. It's continued through the Lentz Collaborative here, and I just want to thank all of you for making available the staff time for the three bureaus that have been involved here, the Housing Bureau, Bureau of Environmental Services, Prosper Portland, and I'm hoping this work can continue, especially with support and blessing, including financial support from the City Council, so I wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Carol Lee Harrison, and I've lived in Lentz for 10 years. I'm on the classified staff at Portland State University, and I'm also a graduate student in urban history there, and my master's thesis research has to do with floods, flood control, and suburban development in the neighborhood. I'm here to tell you about my experience with the flood insurance savings program as a resident, and I don't believe it's an exaggeration to say that my participation in this program has enabled me to keep my home. I recently heard a realtor refer to Lentz as Portland's last affordable neighborhood, and I believe that that was true for me when I bought my house on my own in 2008. But I quickly discovered that my situation there was potentially unaffordable. I didn't know until closing my loan that flood insurance was mandatory for my location, or that the cost of insurance that I was required to buy would rise at a rate that would outpace my income and my ability to save money. In 2008, my annual premium for flood insurance was just over $900 a year. But by 2014, it had risen to $1,400, and it was projected to rise at a steeper rate in the future. So as my payments climbed, I lost the ability to save towards maintenance of my home, and my daily budget, my everyday budget, was significantly tightened. This insurance, by the way, is against a flood that has only a 1% chance of occurring in any year. So the danger of losing my home because I could not afford to insure it was much more real to me than the risk of losing it to a 100-year flood. The elevation survey that the flood insurance savings program provided to me, which is a cost I couldn't have absorbed, showed that my house, or the insurable part of my property, was on higher ground than the 100-year floodplain. So representatives from Inhabit quickly communicated with FEMA about that information on my behalf, and with the help of an insurance agent who specialized in flood policy, I'm now released from the obligation of paying flood insurance. Without this support, I and many of my neighbors would still be paying an arbitrary and expensive policy, which is based on an outdated federal map, rather than having our insurance needs determined by the actual lay of the land. My research as a student has revealed many ways in which the federal and local governments have worked with property owners on the problem of Johnson Creek's flooding for the last 100 years. Floodings never stood alone as an issue on the Lentz floodplain, but going household by household is only part of the solution. But if I'm an example, this individualized program has changed my fortune as a homeowner and as an actor in the neighborhood's economy and its environment. I'm very grateful for the support I've received, and I hope that the city and the state government will continue to invest in programs like this that help all residents and businesses in Lentz thrive with Johnson Creek as our neighborhood grows. Thanks for hearing my testimony today.
Thank you. Great testimony, all three of you. We appreciate it. And there was one more person. Is that right,
yes,
Carla? Very good.
Judy Lowe.
Just call me Lonesome Lowe. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and City Council members. Thank you for having me here today. Today, I think, is a celebration about the Lentz Stabilization and Job Creation Collaborative. But I do want to mention that in 1996, I was here, I think you were also, when we were talking about the Lentz Urban Renewal as a potential, And now it has come to be. And now Lentz is, I think it's on the move. However, and the Lentz neighborhood is comprised of non-white and American citizen applicants primarily. But today it's a celebration, and I want to focus on the festivities and confine my remarks to that topic. So I'm going to read this to you. It should take less than a minute, and I hope you find it somewhat amusing. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. I share initials with the author of that quote, which happens to be on the Statue of Liberty. That could describe Lentz, except we don't see ourselves as being the wretched refuse of a teeming shore. We're proud of our floodplain and of our neighborhood. I've had the privilege of being a volunteer member of the Lentz Stabilization and Job Creation Collaborative, and I'd like to stretch that out a little bit. It's the Lentz Stabilization and Job Creation Collaborative. Those words are significant when strung together because together it represents what I'm here asking you to help me celebrate. I admire and respect the expertise around the table and the dedication demonstrated by Michael Mills and Deb Myhoff and their team for doing the heavy lifting. I'd like to express gratitude to Governor Kate Brown for establishing our floodplain as an Oregon Solutions project, which I believe she signed it on July 16th. So we're very, very close to that anniversary. To co-conveners Jeff Reardon and Michelle Rudd for devoting their time and energy to keeping us on track, and to the city bureaus that have earned their pay at the drawing board, seeking solutions, restoring the floodplain's natural habitat, and their persistent efforts to assist Lentzians with budget-breaking flood insurance costs. The Lentz Stabilization and Job Creation Collaborative is an example of what can be accomplished when focused effort is devoted to an issue. I'm looking forward to focusing on the job creation segment of this project. Disaster preparedness for something that's difficult to imagine is not a priority. Preparing for the yearly rise in Johnson Creek and the resulting tangible ramifications is something Lentz is concerned with every rainy day. It's no easy task to protect us from ourselves in anticipation of a natural disaster. Mother Nature wasn't at the table, so we don't know when she'll deliver the 100-year flood. A Cascadia subduction event could wipe out these efforts. At least now, some of our Lentzians' homes are stabilized in the floodplain, so we've done the best we can with what we've had to work with. It's not over yet. There's still the job creation portion of this project to tackle. I'm looking forward to working with the Lentz Stabilization and Job Creation Collaborative as much as possible. I'm just one Lentz resident doing my part, and I thank you for doing yours.
Thank you. All right, with that, colleagues, if you don't have any further questions, we'll call the roll.
Saltzman?
Well, this is a very exciting Oregon Solutions project, and it sounds like it's really producing good, tangible results in the terms of removing people from the floodplain who didn't belong there in the first place, or reducing flood insurance premiums, as well as community building. So a lot to like about this. Hi.
Daily.
Well, thanks for the presentation and everyone who came to testify today. This is a great program. I'm happy to vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you in particular for the citizens of Lentz, and by that I mean everybody who lives in the former city of Lentz and who now is proud to be there. This has been a long time, as it was mentioned, 100 years or more. My involvement was started about 20 years ago with Ivy Francis of the Bureau of Environmental Services developing the Brookside Project, which was, I think, one of the first combination, let's make a park at the same time as we're making a flood storage facility, and it has really blazed the way. And where, when I first moved to Portland 32 years ago, flooding in Lentz was several times a winter. It seemed like, never mind, just once a winter. Now it hits the headlines again, and that's a good thing, that if it floods in Lentz, it's unusual. And so I'm really remarkable changes over the course of time. I think Commissioner Sam Adams and then Mayor Sam Adams put in a tremendous amount of effort into buying homes in the floodplain and also doing these flood storage projects. So they have created good jobs over the years, which has been another thing. But this is really an example of people say that city government can't have the bureaus work together. Well, yeah, we can. Actually, we could do quite a lot if the truth be known. And not only have the bureaus work together well, but other jurisdictions and the community has as well. So thank you for celebrating with us. Thank you to my colleagues who've been leading this project over the past several years. Aye.
Fish?
Well, I've had the, in my 10 years on this council, I've been involved in a number of these Oregon Solutions projects. Two that come to mind are the Thousand Gardens and Gateway Green. And what was a little different about the declarations of cooperation that came out of those processes is they were a little more prescriptive. And I would say that this document is more aspirational. And so what I want to encourage the leadership, and I want to thank Jeff Reardon and Michelle Rudd and everybody who put so much time into this, is to think in terms of the next steps and what are the concrete things. I don't have to say this to Jeff because he's not shy about coming forward to council, but, you know, we have areas of influence. And it may be as you come back and do the 6th and 12th month checkup, which is required under the terms of the declaration, it may be that you have on your wish list our legislative agenda, perhaps some research into how far we can push the limits of disclosure in real estate transactions. There may be some other things around mapping and making sure that people have some confidence about, you know, where they are or are not when they purchase property. But I would encourage you to go from the more general case that this is framed in terms of to the specific initiatives that you want. And in that regard, Commissioner Saltzman reminded me a few minutes ago that the last time that we had both Parks and BES together was when Dan had both. And just like the last time we had the utilities under a single commissioner, that was under Dan Saltzman. I seem to trail him in terms of these leadership opportunities. It's not lost on me as I listen to the testimony and review the documents that BES and Parks are going to be, along with the Housing Bureau and Metro and others, really critical drivers of the next chapter of the success of Lentz. And so what I would encourage my friends that are here today to do is start thinking about what are some partnerships between Parks and BES that can drive some of the things that you want to see as the next chapter. I mean, the obvious one is what Commissioner Fritz alluded to a few minutes ago, which is the Beggar's Tick Master Plan. You know, you've got now two of the three key partners now unified. Metro needs to be brought to the table, but, you know, where does that rank in terms of a priority? How we deploy Parks Rangers in terms of managing our natural areas and our parks in that area is an important question, and one that impacts both assets of BES and assets of Parks. Could go on and on and on. Under Commissioner Fritz's leadership, big investments have been made at Leech Botanical Garden. Zanger Farm has some aspirations about expanding its footprint. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in that greater area. The one thing I'm not sure about is whether it's the most diverse community in our city. And I think I'd have to take a look at the most recent data on both the New Columbia and on Cully, but it's got to be top five. And there's been so many changes in the neighborhood, but it is an important place. So my commitment as the freshly minted commissioner in charge of both Parks and BES is to work with you to identify some priorities. And I think we do our best work when we move from the aspirational to the concrete. We pick a couple of projects to work with, and we say, let's spend the next couple of years getting it right. So I look forward to doing that. And then finally, I'll just say that a number of people said that Lentz is on the rise. I felt that uniquely when I joined with the mayor and many of you at the dedication of the House of Love and Kindness. And I wish that we could cut the ribbon on a house of love and kindness in every neighborhood in the city. And this, of course, was the Asian Health and Family Center, Dr. Zito's longtime dream. A beautiful building, but I love the name. If we ever in our history needed more houses of love and kindness, it is today. So thanks to everyone who brought this to this stage. I'm a big fan of Oregon Solutions and the work they do, and thanks to the governor for prioritizing this and putting the A-team on it. And let's get to work. Aye.
Wheeler.
So I am very pleased to be perhaps the Johnny come lately to this process. And again, I want to thank Michelle, and I want to thank Representative Reardon. I want to thank all of you who participated in the tour when I had a chance to come out and take a look at the neighborhood, look at some of the assets, evaluate the floodplain. And I have to say, I left feeling highly energized about not only where the community is today, but where it is headed. And let's not forget the opportunities around job growth and job creation in Lentz. I think there are many, many tremendous opportunities there as well. First of all, I want to just react to some of the things we heard today, because I think they're very important. Number one, it is very clear that the folks that we represent are not getting full information when they are purchasing real estate in Lentz. And I don't want to dissuade anybody from living in Lentz, because I think it's a terrific family neighborhood. But there should be full disclosure, because there are consequences, real financial consequences, to living in a floodplain. And given the amount of time that this council spends talking about keeping people in their houses, this is not an inconsequential cost, as we heard from one of the folks who is testifying today. Number two, we heard that there are people who are actually paying for flood insurance who should not be. And as Commissioner Fish rightly points out, that is in part due to the fact that the data is not quality data. And, you know, while we could all quibble about what are the core responsibilities, what are the core obligations of government, I hope we could all agree that at a minimum, we should be providing accurate information. And I'm pleased that the city's taken a leadership role in trying to provide that accurate information. I obviously want to thank not only Jeff and Michelle, I want to thank everybody who was on the collaborative. I want to thank our city staff at Prosper Portland, the Planning and Sustainability Bureau, the Housing Bureau, and the Bureau of Environmental Services. I want to second what everybody said. When I got here, I was told, the city of Portland, it's siloed, nobody talks to anybody, and nobody's accountable for anything. There are probably areas of policy where we could do better. In fact, I will say factually, there are areas of policy where we could do better. But this is an area where the collaboration has been strong. The leadership of the bureaus is aligned and shares the passion of the community members who brought this forward. I want to thank the Oregon Solutions staff, and I want to thank the governor for recognizing this as an important project in our community. And I want to thank the staff at the Regional Solutions and the state and federal agencies, both, that provided technical assistance along the way. And most importantly, I just want to thank the hundreds of community members who are engaged and involved in this process, not only those on the collaborative, but those who provided their insights that helped inform this process along the way. And has been said many times, so I'll just underscore it one more time. This is our entry card to begin the process, to begin the real work of providing those solutions, those tangible solutions. And the presence of State Representative Reardon as leader of this project here in this council chamber, I hope, demonstrates a commitment at both the local and the state level to work together with our regional partners, with community organizations, to continue to push this work forward. And I look forward to seeing what we can do in the next 10 years. I think it's going to be fantastic. I appreciate you all being here. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you, everybody.